I was in the car with Max this past week, and he asked me a question that really made me think. Out of the blue, he asks, "Hey, Mom, if you were going to be born as anyone in all of history, who would you choose? If you could be born as anyone in all of history, who would you choose?" So there I was driving, thinking, okay, well, I want to see Jesus. That was pretty clear. So I'd need to be born right around Jesus. So I thought, maybe Mary Magdalene. No, wait a minute, she had demons. That would be way too scary. Forget her. And then I thought about Peter. Yeah, Peter. No, wait a minute, he got crucified upside down. Ugh, that doesn't sound very good. And I got to thinking, what I really wanted was to be close to Jesus without having to suffer too much. Oh, I know, I'll be John, like John of our cathedral. He was beloved, he got to be close to Jesus, but he also lived to a ripe old age and got to write too. But that is the question for all of us who love Jesus, isn't it? We want to be close to him, but we don't want our lives to be too hard. We want to follow Christ, but we also kind of want to do things our way. And we want to feel good, for heaven's sake. If you ask a 7-year-old to write down what she's going to need to be married and what her married life will be like, and you read what she wrote, you'd probably realize that she doesn't really know much about what it will be like to be married or what she needs to succeed in marriage, because she's 7. If you ask a 3-year-old to create their own diet, well, they're going to eat ice cream and gummy bears and chocolate. And they're going to eat and eat until they make themselves sick, right? Because a 3-year-old doesn't know what it needs to eat. We human beings, we want to be successful, to have money, to have health, to have loving relationships. And we think that we know what is best for us. But could it be that we are like the 3-year-old, that we don't necessarily really know what is best for our souls? We know what might be good for our bodies. We know what tastes good, what feels good, but do we really know what it is that we need in order to find God? Do we really know what we need to grow closer to God? St. Paul says that the wisdom of God sounds like foolishness to us. That we don't understand God's priorities. They don't make sense to us. And in today's gospel, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor." You all know that phrase, "Blessed are the poor." And the word "blessed" means fortunate, happy. Fortunate are the poor? That does sound crazy. So I looked up in the ancient Greek what the word poor really means. And it roots back to a physical gesture. In Jesus' day, the poor would bow a bit and they would hold out their hands to ask for help. So in a way, Jesus is saying, blessed are you when you learn to ask for help. Blessed are you when you learn to ask for help. Blessed are you when you learn that God's plan for you is ultimately better than your plan for yourself. Blessed are you when you finally say to God, okay, your will be done. My will isn't doing so well. I really don't know how to make myself at peace. So maybe, just maybe, I'm going to try to trust you. God, help me. Ironically, sometimes it takes hardship for us to ask God for help. Sometimes it takes our bodies aging and our bones crumbling before we say, hey, I need some help here. And at that moment, when we realize we can't do it ourselves, we're blessed. About 150 years ago, George MacDonald wrote a children's story. And kind of like C.S. Lewis, George MacDonald told great truths about God in his stories. And in this one book, it's called The Princess and the Goblin. And it's a story about a 7-year-old girl whose name is Irene. And Irene discovers that by going up to this very peaceful room in her attic, she encounters a fairy grandmother. Not a fairy godmother, a fairy grandmother, which I thought was kind of cool. And this fairy grandmother is so loving and so wonderful, and Irene loves just being near her. And so one day, Irene says, fairy grandmother, I come up here, and sometimes you're here, and sometimes you're not. But I want to be with you. I want to be able to find you. And so the fairy grandmother gives Irene a ring. And tied to the ring, there is a thread. And the thread leads to a ball of thread. And the grandmother says, I am going to hold this ball of thread. And you keep the ring. Now, as you can see, you cannot see the thread. It's invisible, but you can feel it. Irene, if you run into trouble or if you're scared, I want you to put this ring under your pillow and then put your finger on the thread and follow it. It will lead you to me, but you're going to have to trust in me because the thread may lead you in a roundabout way. It may not seem to you that it's leading you to me, but you have to trust that I want you to come to me. Three days later, the goblins enter Irene's house, and they're loud and scary and violent, and Irene is terrified, but she has the presence of mind to put her ring under the pillow, just like her grandmother said, and she puts her finger on the thread. And she thinks that the thread is going to lead her upstairs into the attic room where she always found peace and found her grandmother. But instead, the thread leads her downstairs through the house and outside all the way right into the goblin's cave. There, the thread seems to be going right into a pile of rocks at the back of the cave, and Irene gets terrified. "What am I doing?" she says. So she tries to go backwards on the thread, and it disappears when she tries to go backwards. So she's standing there with her finger on the thread in front of this big pile of rocks, and she starts to cry. "This doesn't seem right. What am I doing here?" But she remembers her grandmother's smile and how she looked at Irene with such love. So she starts to remove the rocks so she can find out where the thread is leading. And she works for hours, tears streaming down her face, and her hands get bloody and calloused. But after hours, she hears a voice. "Is someone coming?" the voice says. So she starts working harder, removing the rocks. And it turns out that behind the rocks is her best friend, Curdie, who has been trapped by the goblins. And Curdie says, "Irene, how in the world did you find me?" Irene says, "I just followed my grandmother's thread." "Okay," says Curdie, "I don't understand that, but let's get out of here." And Irene says, "You go. But I have to keep following the thread, and it leads even further into the cave. And I've got to stay with it because I trust my grandmother." There are times in your life when I know that you feel as if you have just come up against a brick wall. That whatever is going on in your life makes no sense. Remember that it was the goblins that built the big pile of stones that hid her friend behind it. I don't think that God makes adversity for you. But I do think that God is trying to tell us that there are times when the only way to follow God is through the adversity, and not by running away from it. Sometimes we have no choice but to face it. But if we keep our finger on the thread and trust that God loves us, and that as hard as the journey may be, there is a reason, there is a way, and God will lead us directly into the arms of Christ. You know, for centuries, Christians have knelt at the altar. We kneel and we bow because we remember the words, "Blessed are the poor. Blessed are we when we say, 'God, you're God, and I need you. I trust you. I trust you to lead me even when things don't make sense to me, even when I don't understand why I'm here or what I'm doing. I trust that you know, that you can see further than I can see, that you can see all the way to heaven itself, and that you are leading me home." So I still say that I'd like to be John and not Peter or Mary Magdalene, but I hope and pray that whatever God asks of me, I'll have the courage to follow. Amen.